Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening, either at 6:30, 8 o'clock, or 9:30, and sometimes, if I can squeeze it in, on weekends at 11 in the evening on Saturday and Sunday. And this show focuses on literary issues, great writers of the past of English and American literature. We focus on theology. I myself have a MDiv from Princeton Theological Seminary in Biblical Languages. And this show focuses on the interpretation of Holy Scripture, and we do focus also on political issues of moment. So let me talk a little bit about how I approach this show, approaches my approach in this show. This is a politically incorrect show. We are not concerned with media hype, media falsehoods, or lies of any kind. We are concerned with honest discernment and honest facts and getting at the use of critical thinking to get at the truth and the facts. That's what we're interested in. That is the focus of this show. That is what it is all about. And therefore, let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. I'll say this once. It's a very important comment. We are a society which is not where people are not reading great books such as War and Peace, Anna Karenina, Milton's Paradise Lost, etc. Maybe some people are reading them, but not many. And I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, a world without book is a world descending into darkness, into a kingdom of darkness. And I assure you that Satan is very happy when people are uninformed and know little or nothing about anything beyond the New York Post, etc. So the second thing about this show is that I'm a Christian. It's a Christian show, although I welcome all faiths and all points of view, and many, many Muslims visit this show on a regular basis, I'm very happy to say, and people from China, too. And they're atheists. Maybe they're not atheists. I don't know. But apparently they're interested enough to take a look at it. And this show is a Christian show, and we adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and we adhere to the creeds of the Church, Apostles, Athanasian, and Nicene Creed. And if I read anything, I read the great Christian writers of the past, such as T.S. Eliot, G.K. Chesterton, more recently C.S. Lewis, not so recent, St. Augustine, not so recent, the Epistles of Paul. For me, St. Paul is the greatest religious thinker of the ages. And not to read his letters in the canon of the New Testament is to undergo being cheated of truth and facts. Next, I'm going to talk about the fact that I run two radio shows, a podcast show and this blog talk radio show, and many people visit from many countries all over the world. This blog talk show has been visited by many people from India, Bangladesh, Malaysia, and, of course, surprisingly, Saudi Arabia. I'm very happy to say Saudi Arabia is a fan of this show, as are many other Muslim countries. Over 4,400 people have visited my podcast, and many are continuing to do so. I welcome all faiths and all points of view and all opinions. I exclude no one, and I take in everyone with the love of Christ. Next, I want to say that I'm a writer, and I have written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. Christian books, most notably, have been Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, my interpretation of the 41 parables of Jesus in the Gospel, and I've also written 2 legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2, and I've just completed, I'm very happy to say, an extensive commentary on my favorite and most pressing and most inspiring book of the Bible, the Psalms. And not to read the Psalms is to be in a state of intellectual deprivation and to be lost. The Psalms are the expression of great religious poetry of the Jewish nation. They focus on concern for the poor and underclass people and widows, etc. The Psalms are the voice of the voiceless. They are the voice of Christ. John Donne said of the Sun, the great Anglican poet, the great English poet. For me, he's one of the greats. I love John Donne more than any other writer that I can think of. John Donne said, the Psalms are the manna of the church. And they are not to be missed. And I hope that someday people will take a look at this book and find what I say of interest in the Psalms. I'm also writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I'm writing two books, putting together my blogs on literary, political, and theological issues and religious issues. And I'm also writing a book on the sayings of Christ. And I am writing a book eventually on pretrial motions and hearings in criminal law. I've completed part of it, but not all of it. I enjoy writing. For me, the printed word will always be the primary mode of communication. And as Mortimer Adler said in his very great book, How to Read a Book, written in 1940, but very, very entrancing and valuable, he said that images, which people embrace today, images are a drug. And you learn nothing from television. You learn nothing from computers. Images are drugs which our minds are unengaged and unfocused. He also said that the Bible was the foundation of Western civilization, an extremely unpopular stance today that many people in schools would object to, since they don't want to hear about the Bible at all. Of course, Mortimer Adler was intelligent enough to recognize the value of Holy Scripture and its eternal value. I've written a number of journal articles, over 800 blogs, and two of my articles from Academicus, a Albanian scientific journal, have been purchased by the State Department, and a article on my criminal procedure in the Syracuse Law Review has also been published by the State Department and by the United States Supreme Court. Also, both of these three articles have been purchased by many, many European and other libraries all over the world. So that's where I'm coming from tonight, ladies and gentlemen. In terms of my background, I'm going to talk about something that is, you might say, our modern world finds a discomfort in, and that is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, or the Decalogue, represent an extremely advanced ethical and moral thinking. And if you read them, and I have to say this about the Ten Commandments, they represent an objective statement of the moral law. Our present society embraces subjectivism as a basis of morality, and people sort of are given the right to think up or make up their own moral system. However, I think that's incorrect, and what's in the Decalogue and Ten Commandments are an objective statement from God, from Mount Sinai, supposedly, of advanced ethics. I want to look at certain commandments which I think are very significant and important. The first commandment forbids the worship of any other gods other than the Jewish God, Jehovah or Yahweh. This commandment, if we suggest and involve, and virtually commands monotheism, or the sole God being the Jewish God, since other gods are out of the question. The commandment says there is only one God who has created everything and who is the source of all justice and power. This commandment sets the Hebrew nation and their concept of God in opposition to any sort of monotheism. So the first commandment is extremely significant and demanding. It forbids the worship of any other God other than Yahweh, the Jewish God, and it commands monotheism, not polytheism, since polytheistic systems are out of the question. That includes Hinduism. The Decalogue, the first commandment, says there is only one God, period. This is the only God you can know and understand, who has created everything and is the source of all justice and power. So we have to understand in this first commandment, God leaves us no options as to who God is and who the true God is. He doesn't give us an option to believe in other gods or other ideas or other concepts. he makes it clear in this commandment there is only one God, Yahweh, Jehovah, and that's it. And it excludes polytheism, multiple gods, such as it was in the Greco-Roman pantheon, and Hinduism, which is a polytheistic system. The idea here is only one God who has created the heavens and earth. And this commandment sets apart this God and concept of God in opposition to any other God you can find. Our modern world says there are all kinds of gods. You can believe what you want. I've heard it said that all religions are the same. All gods are the same. You can believe it. And it's true. You can believe anything you want. But this commandment makes clear that for Christians and Jews, there is no other God but the God of Mount Sinai, who spoke in the tablets of stone once and for all and forever. There is only one God. There's only one true God. And this is what this commandment says. And all religious commandment rejects the idea of all religions being the same and that there are other gods that we can know. It rejects it and wants nothing to do with it, and that's it. Take it or leave it, this is God's word on who he is and who we are to believe he is. The next thing, the second commandment, very, 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 very significant, forbids the making and worship of a graven image, or more exactly, a carved image of wood and stone, as a god. Now, in the ancient world, there were many, many images in stone and wood of gods. It was very, very common, okay? But this commandment says the Jewish God, or the God of the universe, the God that created the heavens and the earth, is a spiritual being and is not material. This commandment forbids the making and worship of a graven or carved image of wood or stone, and says that the God is a spiritual being and cannot be represented by anything material. Very important. It demands humanity to understand that God is a spirit and not a being of stone or wood, and is not to be represented in that fashion. It is a monotheistic command. It is extremely advanced in its concept. This is 3,500 years ago. These commandments were given. This second commandment is very advanced in demanding that we understand God to be a spirit. We have to understand at that time, nations surrounding the Jewish nation embraced idolatry on a grand scale and were largely polytheistic in their orientation. However, this commandment again focuses on the God of the Jews and Christians. By the way, the first commandment of there being only one God and allowable follows the commandment of Jesus that he is the only way, the truth, and the love, and the life, and we can only come to God through Christ. Christ represents to us, I'll speak about this again more exactly, he makes a clear demarcation that he is the true God, and he's the true way to know God. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. He claims to be God. He claims to work miracles. He claims to raise the dead, Lazarus, for example. He himself claimed to have risen from the dead. So let's take a look. The second commandment, very important. We are told that God is a spirit. And this second commandment forbids the making and worship of a graven image of wood or stone. The true God is a spirit and cannot be represented by anything material. And like the first commandment, which is monotheistic in its command, the second commandment is equally advanced in insisting on God being a spirit. We have to understand at that time the nations, and even today, people worship all kinds of things. They worship their cars, they worship their Lexus, they worship their BMW, they worship their wardrobe, they worship their sexy wife. They have all kinds of things they worship. God says, no, and the nations surrounding the, and there are all kinds of idolatry that we can embrace as human beings, mistaken idolatries. And the nations surrounding the Jewish nation embraced idolatry on a grand scale and were, as I say, polytheistic in their orientation. And this commandment makes clear that God is a spirit and rejects the idolatry of the surrounding nations. And again, I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, idolatry can be understood in many ways. Not only is in images of stone and wood, but in things that we worship, our cars, our families, our wives, our mothers, whatever we may worship, that's a form of idolatry. God says, no, there is only one God, and he is a spirit. And that is what we to understand him to be. He is not a material being. There is only, and in addition, as I said in the first commandment, he leaves us no option, but there is only one God and one true God. There are, all religions are not the same. They are quite different. And the Jewish and Christian God is said to be, in these commandments, the sole and true God. I want to talk about some other things tonight, but I would like to talk about something else here, which is a matter of coveting. The 10th commandment is extremely advanced moral thinking, since it forbids not a physical attack on anybody, but a thought pattern of envy, which is a weakness that all men and women share. This 10th commandment is extremely advanced moral thinking, because it forbids envy and jealousy, which I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, God very can't hit the nail on the head. This is a weakness all men and women share, envy, jealousy, whatever. And this commandment, this 10th commandment, seems to concern itself with our innermost thoughts and desires. It is an attack on our mental thinking and our mental state. It is extremely advanced moral thinking. It is so advanced that we can only understand God's great concern for envy and jealousy, which is a weakness that all men and women share. And this commandment, this 10th commandment, concerns itself with all our innermost thoughts of envy and jealousy. Perhaps God is attacking envy and jealousy in this commandment because he knows it leads to murder, it leads to robbery, it leads to all kinds of evil that we cannot even understand why this evil occurs. But the concern of God with envy and jealousy was it's bringing about evil, whether murder, whether robbery, whether adultery, whatever you may imagine. Envy is the root of many, many sins. So I looked at a couple of commandments here, the first, second, and tenth commandments, and I hope you'll take a look at it yourselves. And obviously, when you read the Bible, you are going to be raised intellectually, as I have done tonight, in looking at the first commandment, which forbids the worship of any other gods but the true God, and embraces monotheism and rejects polytheism. And the second commandment, which forbids the making of images, graven images of wood and stone, making clear that God is a spirit and cannot be represented by anything material. This is an extremely advanced concept, and it is extremely advanced in its concept of God as a spirit. This was an issue at the time because the nations surrounding the Jewish nation embraced idolatry on a grand scale and were largely polytheistic in their orientation. So that's the beginning point of knowledge here that I've given about the Decalogue. The 10th commandment, which forbids coveting, is focused not only on envy and jealousy, which is a root and terrible sin, but envy and jealousy lead to all kinds of terrible things, whether murder, whether anger, whether robbery, whether adultery, whatever you may imagine. Envy and jealousy are bad, and God is very concerned with envy and jealousy being stamped out, and he addresses the issue in the Tenth Commandment of the Decalogues. Again, this is an extremely advanced thought pattern. I've written a book on this issue, The Parables of Jesus, a personal commentary, and you'll find my comments on the Ten Commandments on pages 107 through 109. I hope you'll read this book and find it of interest. It is called The Parables of Jesus, a personal commentary. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk tonight, and I will be resuming Monday night. I will be resuming possibly Saturday and Sunday. I'm going on vacation. I'll be out of the area from Sunday to next Sunday, but I will be speaking Saturday and Sunday on the Ten Commandments and, again, commenting on them. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk as much as I've enjoyed expressing my thoughts in this area.